You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Wisconsin Wakes Up here. Back to Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Civic Media Network. It is 6 minutes after seven now. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And good morning. I'm Brian Noonan. Jamie, it's time.
It is.
This is it. It's very exciting. It is time for the first word of our Accelerate Your Summer's Text to Win Multi-State Contest. It is your daily chance to win $100 and a Wisconsin Dells prize package. Plus, every entry puts you into our grand prize drawing for $250 in gas and another $250 in groceries. Jamie, what do people need to do?
You have to have the Civic Media app. So if you haven't downloaded that yet, you're going to have until 8 o'clock to get us the word, and we're going to give that to you in just a second. Text us through that Civic Media app. You're going to have multiple chances to qualify throughout the day for the next couple of weeks, and it's really literally just that easy. All you have to do is text through your app. So
are we ready?
Are we ready? All right. So your very first word in our Accelerate Your Summer Text to Win Multi-State Contest is start. S-T-A-R-T. Start. That is the word you need to text us right now so you can qualify for that $100 or that Wisconsin Dells prize package for the daily prizes. Then, of course, as Brian so eloquently put it, the grand prize drawing for $250 in gas and another $250 in groceries. Again, your word this hour is start. S-T-A-R-T. Start is your word. Text us using your Civic Media app. Good luck to you well. Fun stuff. I love it when we get to give away some good prizes.
So,
and who couldn't use a little cash right now? My goodness.
$100 That maybe you could take your kids to the movies. Or you could buy all kinds of things and have an at-home movie party with them and their friends.
That's right.
Either way, you have to text to win. So get started on that, and we'll give you other words throughout the day. But you have till 8 o'clock. So the word is start. Anyway, that's something you need to know. But is there anything else that we need to know at 7:08 on a Monday morning?
It's a wake-up call in more ways than one. Time for some you need to know.
Six Ukrainian trauma surgeons traveled to the University of Wisconsin-Madison for a two-week intensive training program in advanced microsurgery techniques. The surgeons treat severe war injuries caused by Russia's invasions, including amputations, nerve damage, and devastating blast injuries from missiles and drones. Microsurgery can help save limbs, restore function, and improve outcomes for patients who may otherwise face permanent disability. So UW-Madison has become a global leader in microsurgery training and has developed low-cost portable microscopes that help expand training opportunities worldwide. Science! The Ukrainian doctors practiced on chicken thighs and cadavers before returning home to apply the skills in hospitals treating war casualties. UW officials say the partnership highlights Wisconsin's role in advancing medical innovation while helping doctors save lives in one of the world's most active war zones. That is really cool. Portable microscopes.
Cool.
And for people who don't believe in science or don't believe in doctors, man, you're wrong.
Right.
You are very wrong.
Absolutely wrong. It's very, very cool. In other stuff you need to know, a group of 15 young Wisconsinites is appealing a court decision that dismissed their lawsuit over climate change and state energy policies. The lawsuit argues that Wisconsin laws limiting renewable energy requirements and restricting how regulators consider pollution violate their constitutional rights. A Dane County judge said the concerns raised by the plaintiffs are real, but ruled that energy and climate policy decisions could be addressed by lawmakers, not the courts. The young plaintiffs say climate change has already affected their lives through flooding, stronger storms, reduced snowfall, poor water quality, and impacts on outdoor activities like skiing, fishing, and swimming. Environmental groups backing the lawsuit argue courts have a responsibility to protect constitutional rights when government policies contribute to climate-related harm. The appeal comes as Wisconsin continues to see warmer temperatures, heavier rainfall and more extreme weather, like those fast droughts that we were talking about earlier this morning, while the state remains heavily dependent on electricity generated from coal and natural gas. I mean, you knew this was going to come. These young Wisconsinites are not really backing down on this lawsuit, so not surprised.
Good. I love when young people are getting involved and letting their voices be heard and fighting the good fight, as we used to say. Some other stuff you need to know. It might take you a lot longer to get enough walleye for your next fish fry because Wisconsin's Natural Resources Board has approved the next step in creating new walleye fishing regulations for lakes where fish populations are declining. The DNR is proposing stricter limits on struggling lakes, including a 1 walleye per day limit and an 18-inch minimum size requirement. Anglers would also be prohibited from keeping walleye between 22 and 28 inches to protect prime breeding fish and help boost natural reproduction. The rule, a court, would allow the DNR to respond more quickly when surveys show low numbers of young walleye in a lake. Walleye populations, if you didn't know this, have been declining on many northern Wisconsin lakes for years due to a combination of fishing pressure and environmental changes. Walleye are one of Wisconsin's most popular sport fish. They're also currently important to the Ojibwe tribe, making their long-term health important for both recreation and tribal traditions. So I didn't realize. I mean, I know everybody wants to catch walleye. We all love to eat walleye.
Of course.
I didn't realize there was such a scarcity of walleye.
I had no idea. You know, this is why we do this segment, because it's all of these underlying things that we didn't know actually
little
existed.
Things that we didn't
and
know.
It's all stuff you should know. Hence the title of the segment, right? But
yes.
Yeah, important
and
stuff.
Just we will I'm seeing a lot of texts from people who seem to be having trouble with the text to win. We are working on it.
I am texting with our tech team right now, making sure that we get this word in and ready to roll yet this hour. So hopefully, fingers crossed, somebody is able to do that. Yeah. If not, I will remind everybody that when that happens, we are able to take those names and we still put them into the drawing. So even if you aren't able to do it through the app, we will get it fixed and you will still be entered into the contest with your submissions this morning. But we are diligently working on that right now.
Just wanted to make people aware because there's a lot of text coming in. We want the contest to go smoothly as well. So trust us, we are on this. JV is taking care of it.
I am.
See, that's the bonus of Parker when you have one of the suits working on the show. The bosses. Just if it was just you and I, and even Frank, because we don't know where Frank is. But if it was just you and I, there'd be trouble. But we got Jamie on the case.
That's true.
So it will be straightened out. Post haste.
I am working on it as quickly as I can, but you will be entered, I promise. Even if you are getting a bounce back text, we'll be able to keep those and get you into the drawing. But hopefully by the end of this hour, we'll be good and you'll be good for the rest of the day.
So what's the big story?
Well, this is an interesting one because as we talk about stuff you need to know, because there was a national investigation, reporting investigation that was recently done. And this is actually, when you think about this, especially for rural areas, this is a little scary because it found more than 1 in 5 dispatch centers, you know, when we're talking emergency services, all across America's 100 largest cities, fail to answer 911 calls quickly enough to meet national standards. So, these emergency call centers aim to answer 90% of calls within 15 seconds and 95% within 20 seconds because obviously delays affect how quickly police, firefighters, and EMS reach people in a crisis. Well, staffing shortages remain the biggest challenge. And a lot of these dispatch centers across the country lost employees during and after. You didn't want to bring it up again, Brian, but we have to. During and after the pandemic due to burnout, which I can imagine is a major factor, stress, and the emotional demands of the job. So these 911 dispatchers are obviously handling some very traumatic situations. Everything from shootings to suicides, overdoses, domestic violence, serious accidents, and even medical emergencies all while trying to keep callers calm and gather all of this critical information. And research has shown that these dispatchers actually face risks of depression themselves, anxiety, acute stress disorders, and even post-traumatic stress disorder because of the nature of their work.
That all makes sense.
Yeah.
And when I understand COVID was a big stressor on this. There's a difference for me when we look at long-term effects of health from the pandemic, and when we go, well, people aren't going to the movie theater. It's like, a lot of this can be direct. There's a direct tie back. You can, in other things, when we're blaming COVID still 6 years later, it's like, all right,
right.
Let's look at other things. But this, when it's like PTSD, if you're in the service, it might not hit you right away, but the direct cause of that can be linked back to those experiences. So that's why, you know, when I balk at using COVID as an excuse for everything, there are certain places where it is legit.
It is.
This seems to be one of those legit markers in a life or a career that would then set you off down a line for things to get worse mentally.
Now, if you're wondering about this, it turns out that Wisconsin is not necessarily immune. In fact, some Wisconsin counties have struggled with also staff shortages in recent years, forcing dispatchers to work in mandatory overtime, double shifts, and even extend their hours to keep emergency services running. Emergency managers throughout the state say that those shortages of staff creates a really vicious cycle. And we all experience this in our own jobs, right? Overworked dispatchers burn out. They leave the profession, which places even more pressure on the people who stay there. So some dispatch centers in this state have made some significant progress by raising wages, improving benefits, investing in employee wellness, and focusing on hiring people who are a really good fit for high stress environments. In fact, one Wisconsin dispatch center highlighted in the report was able to maintain staffing levels near full capacity, helping it consistently meet emergency call answering benchmarks. Now, you got to think that how obviously these dispatchers are super important no matter what. But when you live in a state as rural as Wisconsin, especially when you have shared services and sometimes shared centers, it's probably really important that we're doing a good job taking care of these people who are the first person in some of these situations you're going to have contact with, I would think.
It's one of those jobs like an air traffic controller where you don't want people burned out and you want to make sure there's enough people doing the job.
Mm-hmm.
Because, to be honest, you know, when you think of dispatchers in the normal life, most of us don't have to call 911 that often, thank goodness.
Right.
So we don't think about the constant stress. And imagine if you're in a city like Madison or Milwaukee, and those dispatchers are getting calls nonstop.
Yes.
And you know, they're timed and it has to be, you have to get everything correct. And you're the person listening to someone in one of their most dire moments. And it has to wear on you. So whatever we can do, even though most of us may never use this service, whatever we can do to make those people more comfortable and make it them last without burnout, I think we should be looking into it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, these are people who sometimes have to walk a parent through CPR. Sometimes they have to help someone report a serious crash on a county road. Sometimes they have to coordinate multiple agencies that are spread across a really large area. So these are people who have to be on top of their game and have to be well-trained and know exactly what's happening and still at the same time be compassionate and yet sometimes walk people from a point where if they might be in hysterics because of the situations around them.
Of course, it's life or death, and that's not hyperbole.
No.
It is. You don't call 911 just as a, you know.
No.
Is it raining today?
No.
No, it's not.
No, it's absolutely not.
All right, we're working on the contest. We're going to get that to you, and we're going to do Swipe or Stay next. I'm Brian Noonan. This is Daybreak.
I'm Jamie Martinson. 719 right now. You're listening to the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
7:22 right now. We hope that you We're having a great start to your Tuesday morning. Another quick reminder that if you were trying to enter text to win, we are working on our technical issues. If you did enter this morning, even if you've got a bounce back text, you will still be entered for the daily prize as well as the grand prize. And hopefully we will have that fixed so that it works throughout the rest of the day and the rest of the contest. First one, always a little bit of an issue, but we are on it this morning. Thank you to everybody for letting us know, though, so that we can make sure yes. It's working smoothly going forward. It is time for Swipe or Stay here on Civic Media. We're going to put the politics aside for just a few minutes. We're going to talk about pop culture with our senior producer, Frank. How are you today?
I'm good. Yeah, no politics at all for this segment.
Oh, I love it.
What about the politics of dancing? Politics of feeling good.
Also, I got to talk to Brian about his movie theater take later, but
okay,
that can wait. All right, Swipe or Stay. I'm going to read some pop culture
headlines.
Why
don't you text it in, Frank? I'll read it.
Hopefully it doesn't bounce back. I'm going to read some headlines.
Not going to happen.
Brian and Jamie are going to have to decide whether to stay and hear more or to swipe on to the next one. So story number one, member of the royal family is under investigation.
We take our pick, I guess, on this one. I'll stay.
Yeah, which one?
Any guesses?
I'm going to say Camilla, just for a
Camilla.
While. Camilla did something horrendous, I'm guessing.
I'm going to say former Duchess Fergie.
Oh, you were close. It is Prince Andrew yet again.
Oh
man.
They're looking into an incident from 2002 at Royal Ascot Racecourse. Cops say that they're examining events in 2002 as they consider wider possible crimes by Andrew Mountbatten Windsor, including sexual misconduct, shocker, corruption, and fraud.
Wow.
Wow, I thought he was in Grenada at the time. No?
Nope.
All right. His alibi won't hold up.
It's not going to hold up. That's all we know right now is that cops across the pond are investigating this.
Wow.
What a surprise.
I was going to say, it's not shocking to anybody who's followed the trials and tribulations of Prince Andrew over the last few months.
Do you think it's I'm going to strip his titles and now all this stuff that we have record of, you can finally start going after him for? Like, there's no protection from the
Queen. Once they took his title away, he was fair game.
They were like, all right, let's open up the books.
Well, and the royal family pretty much gave him permission and basically said, if he's guilty of something, it needs to be handled, right? I mean, so, and that was under the Queen Mum before the world lost her as well. So, I mean, Queen Elizabeth.
The good news for him is he's not sweating it because we know he can't sweat. So.
Get it?
Yeah.
Tennis player fined for post-match remark at the French Open.
Is this a guy who had diarrhea in the middle?
It is not.
All right, then I'm going to swipe.
I feel like the diarrhea at the French Open is a better story. swipe.
Country artist destroys instrument in frustration.
Oh, I know this story. This guy's a tool, but I'll stay.
I like to see people destroy things once in a while. Stay.
Hey, Morgan Wallen's back in the news.
Oh, yay. Uh-huh.
This time it's for on-stage shenanigans. Wallen had technical difficulties at a show in Denver, Colorado, which prompted him to flip his piano, shattering it on stage. The internet seems divided on this move, some pointing out that rock stars break guitars and instruments all the time, while others are calling his behavior immature and unsurprising, given his track record. Does he get a pass for this because other musicians have broken instruments?
No, and that trend still happening? It's very rare, unless you go to a punk show, I think. You don't see people, to quote John Hyatt, smashing perfectly good guitars.
No. I don't know. To me, that just seems stupid. And maybe it is because I am a person who loves music and understands how expensive those instruments are. It actually just really upsets me when I see somebody do that because,
If you're not Pete Townsend, you're just copying.
Yeah.
You know, They did the Who did it back in the 60s as a way to be like anti-establishment. Everybody else co-opted it. If you're doing it now, people just look at you like, because of all the reasons Jamie listened, you just go, you're so dumb. Why are you breaking that guitar?
Yeah. It's
that's a few.
When's the last
dollars.
Time it was cool? Nirvana?
Did Nirvana break their guitars?
Yeah. They kicked over amps and everything else.
Well, they were alternative.
Yeah, they were grunge.
Grunge.
Oh, yeah, they were
I loved Nirvana. Huge Nirvana fan yet. I mean, I didn't really love it when they did it, though, either.
Yeah, I don't
Because I looked at the Fender speakers, and I was like, oh, my God, you just destroyed a vintage Fender. What are you doing? I mean, right? Like,
we'll get another one.
That was what actually went through my mind even then. It was weird. I don't know.
Morgan Wallen doesn't get any passes.
Yeah, that was kind of my feeling, too.
Yeah.
No.
Maybe
no.
somebody else, they could get a pass. I don't think he does.
No.
Goodbye.
Get me to God's country. All right. Creator finally confirms the end of a popular show.
Oh, I'm going to stay.
Stay.
This one is actually for Jamie. The show Euphoria has finally
thank
ended.
Thank God.
HBO and show creator Sam Levinson finally confirmed that last night's episode would be its last. Leading up to the finale, HBO never referred to it as a series finale, but instead called it a season finale, so people were unsure. However, I don't think you can get around your main character saying they're ready to move on from the show.
Yeah, no. And was anybody really surprised? I mean, it had already basically been touted even before Levinson said anything that this was it. And honestly, if you've been watching the show, you can't take anymore because it is to the point where it is so ridiculous that you literally can't take anymore. You're just like, okay, I'm out. And I have not seen last night's episode yet. I haven't had a chance to watch it, so I have to do that.
Well, I won't spoil it for you.
Who was the character that said they were moving on?
Was Zendaya. Yeah, I believe so.
Zendaya. Jacob Elordi. I think.
Well, that's because he's dating a Kardashian now. So.
Oh well. Does that mean you don't have to work anymore?
Probably.
I would hope
like
so.
Zendaya has a nice career. Elordi does too. I guess.
Yeah.
They both do. That's it for Swipe or Stay. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Frank. Always a pleasure to have you around. Boy, has the American dream of home ownership ended? We'll find out. Daybreak.
Now back to more of Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
7:35 right now. Hopefully you're having a great start to your morning. Some warmer temperatures today. Maybe a few showers across portions of the state as well. That includes here in Madison. If you're listening in Wausau on WXEO or in Appleton and Oshkosh on WISS or in Hayward on WBZH, thank you so much for joining us this morning. We do appreciate it. My name is Jamie Martinson.
Hi, I'm Brian Noonan. Good morning. Glad you're here. Really quick, we are in the midst of our first Text to Win. It's the Accelerate Your Summer Text to Win Multi-State Contest. Now, I know a lot of people have been texting in and getting a bounce back. We are working on it.
Yes.
We understand. But, and I don't know how this works, but I am buoyed by the fact that if you enter, if you text the word, and the word is
start. Yes, S-T-A-R-T.
Start. Just text that word on the Civic Media app, and you'll be entered to win a daily $100 and Wisconsin Dells prize package. Plus, there's a grand prize drawing for $250 in gas and $250 in groceries. We know some of you are getting bounce backs, but Jamie, these people, even if you're getting a bounce back, you will still be entered, correct?
Yes, absolutely. It's a whole database thing. It holds those texts, even if you're getting a bounce back. So we go through and we manually take those names, put them into the drawing. So you will still be entered to win all of these great prizes, including the grand prize, which is $250 in gas, another $250 in groceries. It is being worked on as we speak. I'm getting those texts in right now to my personal text line. And here's the thing. This is also not the only chance you have to qualify. You have opportunities today, all through this week, and then all through Monday through Friday of next week as well. So you will have plenty of opportunity to qualify in this Accelerate Your Summer Text to Win Multi-State Contest. But again, the word this hour, start, S-T-A-R-T. You have until 8 o'clock to get us that word so that you're qualified for all of those fantastic prizes. I feel like Vanna this morning.
Yeah. Everybody has a chance. So
that's
keep texting. And again, the word is start, S-T-A-R-T. So has the American dream of homeownership become unattainable, or do we just need to adjust our expectations? Get us your opinion at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. It's tough. One of my good friends is looking for a home. He has a home, but they're looking to move closer to his parents. And looking for houses now is tough. But if you're a first-time buyer, it's even harder. The Corliss in Milwaukee is set to become the largest privately developed affordable housing project in Wisconsin history, creating 576 affordable apartments, including 144 units for seniors. The project has a $197 million price tag, highlighting how difficult and expensive it has become to build affordable housing due to higher construction costs, labor shortages, supply chain issues, and rising interest rates. Well, Wisconsin has a major housing shortage, which we have talked about before. So Wisconsin needs, according to state estimates, about 200,000 additional housing units by 2030. That seems like an insurmountable number.
It is a big number.
That is a lot.
It is. And this shortage is contributing to higher rents and also higher home prices across the state. So if you're somebody who's like, oh, I'm not going to buy a house, I'm just going to rent.
Good luck.
Turns out you're also going to have a lot of issues with lower rent. I mean, I'm going to be honest. We rent in Madison, and we don't have the most expensive home. We have a pretty median rental price at our home, and we're paying near $3,000, which is pretty, which is pretty normal for the Madison market for a home, right? We have a three-bedroom home with two baths because there's three people living in our house, and that's what we're near $3,000. Not living in the lap of luxury either, people, let me tell you.
It's amazing how much rent used to be for, you know, if you couldn't afford a house, you could always afford rent.
Yeah.
And now it's like, boy, I don't have enough money for a down payment.
Yeah.
And most of the time your mortgage payment would end up being less than your rent is. But if you don't have that down payment or you have wonky credit, then all of a sudden all your rent payments don't matter. You could have paid rent for 15 years at a higher level than what your mortgage would be, but you still can't get that loan because, well, what if you can't make the payment? I don't know. Then I would be out on the street because my landlord wouldn't have put up with it for the last 15 years.
Now, that's why I love this development that they've started in the Milwaukee area, because it required a lot of funding sources, including federal housing tax credits. They also had to use the city tax incremental financing system, which, if you're not familiar, TIF, that's right. TIF is how most of us know that. Environmental cleanup assistance and also private investments. Affordable housing projects usually require this type of funding because the rents alone aren't going to cover your construction costs. And this is a massive, as you pointed out, this is a massive apartment complex. So you can imagine it's going to be a little pricey right now, right?
You would think. It looks, I mean, it's going to be pricey to build. It looks, the renderings so far look really great. So if, because a lot of people still operate under the old affordable housing, you think maybe they're not the best. Maybe they're not in the best neighborhoods. But this is affordable housing in a desirable area, in a building that looks as high rent as any other apartment building you're going to see constructed in the Milwaukee area. It's all of that. And I've been reading now, there's also builders, you know, they're building either developments that are just meant to rent, which is a sad state of affairs. So they're building like little neighborhoods of homes, single family homes, but they're doing it just for rentals.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
I mean, I don't mind that. I guess if, you know, and for some people, don't you think too, at one point in time, people would buy a house and they knew they were going to be in that house until the 30 years and their mortgage and a right of home ownership. People move a lot more now. People don't stay in one place. And I think,
well, you've mentioned all the places you've lived. I've lived all over the country in houses, apartments, condos. So yeah, nobody stays.
No. It's not like
my daughter has moved, and she's only 29. She's moved a bunch of times.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
And here's the thing. I mean, it is really spendy to buy a home. And we're not talking just in the urban areas of Madison and Milwaukee. In fact, prices are up all over the state. And mm-hmm. if you are a young family, the median home price has climbed in this state to $340,000. That is over 6%. That's up more than 6% over the past year and nearly 96% over the last decade. Home prices have risen much faster than wages because, again, Wisconsin still at minimum wage, and the average first-time home buyer is now around 38 years old. Wow. I mean, you know,
Well, when you have to have that kind of money, I think back, and I know that this dates me, but back when we bought our first house, a $340,000 house would have been a mansion.
Yes, that's what I was just going to say.
For what you could have gotten for $340,000, I would look at those were the kind of houses that were out of everybody's reach.
Yeah.
You would look at those homes and go, what do the people do that live there?
Right.
Because I think our first house cost $68,000.
Yeah. Our first house cost 23 years ago, our first house cost $90,000.
Yeah. Oh, man, if you were going over $100,000, that's insane.
Yeah, and
when we bought our house in California, I was like, I don't know how it would. It's like, this is more than I ever thought I would spend on a house,
right?
Ever, and now I couldn't get a house for that.
I know, and that's just it. I mean, and when we bought our very first house, it was an older home, full basement. It had three bedrooms. It had two bathrooms. It had everything that we possibly needed, including just under a quarter acre living in the city, so that our young children could run around in the backyard and we could live that American dream, because that's what everybody envisions in their life, right?
Yeah.
Turns out that we're getting priced right out of our own markets is essentially what's happening. That's why I love this idea of the Corliss as well, because this could be, and that's what the property managers and investors of this are hoping, is that this can eventually be some sort of prototype that they can use in multiple places across the state and tailor it to what that market specifically might need. So it's not just something that they could use in Milwaukee or Madison. It could be put in population areas with just under $10,000. Obviously, you're not going to have, or with 10,000 people, I'm sorry, you're not going to have, 576 units, but what you're going to have is something that's better for that area makes sense.
Yeah, and once you get people in there, it starts paying for it. But you're right. The rents aren't going to build it, so you have to have all that other thing. I found it very interesting that Milwaukee leads the state in income to rent ratio, meaning people in Milwaukee don't make enough to cover it.
Right.
It's very close to cover the rent. Madison is right behind Milwaukee.
Yeah.
So, and that's, you would expect the two biggest cities in the state to have the higher rents and high things like that. But when you look at it, and you brought up the minimum wage in Wisconsin, so people on minimum wage have already accepted they're never getting a house.
Yes.
And that's not an indictment on those people. It's just, it's economics. It's fact.
We aren't keeping up with the trends of what's actually happening in the real world. That's essentially what's happening. When you're only paying people $7.25 to do a job, you can't keep up with the demands of what we're talking with these housing prices. In Madison and Milwaukee, for instance, the median home now costs about five times the median household income. So what are people supposed to do?
I don't know.
I mean, this is why people are struggling so much to make ends meet. It doesn't help that, everything else is escalating in price as well.
Yes.
But at the same time, we are literally in a housing crisis, I would say. If this is, especially in this state, I mean, if this is what we're talking about, if we are not keeping up with the price to income ratio, and if in some areas it's five times the median household income, and the median household income in this state, including lower populated areas, is $340,000. What are people supposed to do?
We're not, and there's no more. You remember the term starter house?
Mm-hmm.
Like our first house was definitely a starter house.
Sure.
Well, experts here in Wisconsin are saying we need more starter homes. We need workforce housing, apartments, affordable housing. But you can't, like, a starter home, that's where most couples if they were going to buy a house. Mm-hmm. And ours was small. It was a bath and a half, three bedrooms. But it was a nice little brick Cape Cod, and it had a little yard, and it was our slice of the American dream. And that was, sure, at that time, that was what we could afford. And I look back on it now and go, oh, man, that was – we didn't realize how lucky we had it, because at that time it's always a stretch, right? Mm-hmm. You're always having to put in effort to make those payments, but you could do it. You, yes, could do it without having to worry that, all right, well, we can't eat, but we have a house.
Right.
You know?
I mean, when you're literally choosing between how to pay mortgage and what bills you should pay, or if you're able to get your medicines this much, we have a problem. Like, yeah, there is a major problem in the economics of this country, and I can guarantee that none of it is designed to help the average homeowner.
Well, and I think it all goes back to like 2007, 2008 with the housing bubble, when they were giving out, yes, all these horrible mortgages. People were buying houses way, way above their means.
Oh, yes.
And then the bubble burst. And so corporations started buying, yep, up all these homes,
yes,
turning them into really expensive rental properties. And there was never a reckoning. Everything just, yes, kept going up. It was like, all right, the corporations bought these houses. Now we've got them as property owners and managers. And now, you know, regular folks have to be subservient to the companies and get there to try to have, yes, a place to live. It's rough. Yeah. Rough, rough, rough. Well, on that note, we must move on to something calmer. Yes. How about flying kites?
Love this.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. It's David.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Local news, community stories, and the conversations that matter most. Now, more Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Oh, it's very soothing this morning. 7:52, yeah, right now. Thank you so much for joining us on the Civic Media Network. Hey, some good news, Brian. The tech, yes, issues are over, and you can now text us with no complications as we start this Accelerate Your Summer Text to Win multi-state contest. You have about 8 more minutes to get us the first word of the hour, so you qualify for the daily prizes of $100 or Wisconsin Dells prize package. And then, of course, every entry puts you into the grand prize drawing for $250 in gas and another $250 in groceries. I will let you do the honors and give the word this time.
Well, thank you. The key word for this hour is start. S-T-A-R-T, start. Just text the word start on your Civic Media app and you will be entered. And don't worry if you entered earlier in the hour and you got a bounce back or something, your name is still being entered for today. But you can enter again if you want now. You've got about 6 minutes to get everything in. And don't worry, you'll have more words as the day goes on. So get your entry in like Mr. Plowking just did.
That's right. That's right.
So text to win. A lot of them coming in. We got thank you for the quick response time, as Jamie said, getting it all fixed. First day, always a little wonky. But it's still the first hour, so that's
multiple good times. You it's not just a one entry thing, so you will definitely have plenty of chances, yes, to get your name in there. So thank you for your patience this morning.
And it is working because I'm seeing all the fantastic entries coming in. When I saw this story, I hoped Parker would pick that song from Mary Poppins. Let's go fly a kite. But I should have had faith, Parker. I apologize for doubting you.
You know, I'll be honest with you. I didn't have that in my wheelhouse. I looked up kite songs, and
okay,
that was the first one that came up. And actually, I got confused at first because I didn't see that it was from Mary Poppins. I just saw that Dick Van Dyke was in it. I'm like, that what? What he was? Uh-huh. And then I figured it out. Mary Poppins.
That right. Chim Chimney, mm-hmm. Supercalifragilist.
Great song. One of my favorite movies ever. Love it.
Mary Poppins is great. I would like to watch it now at home. Oh, call back to Upset Frank about me not liking the theaters. Anyway, why did we play Mary Poppins? Because the Wisconsin Kiters Club has about 70 members statewide and helps organize roughly 15 kite events each year across Wisconsin. The club members fly everything from simple single-line kites to giant show kites that can reach up to 100 to 130 feet long and 30 to 45 feet wide. I'm gonna say it without any sort of irony or any sort of shame. I love seeing giant kites
yeah.
in the air.
Yeah.
I love it. It's very peaceful.
It is.
It's just that little flutter.
Yes.
And just oh my God, I love it.
I love kites, and they actually have some events coming up. They're going on June 27th, both of these events, depending on what part of the state you're on. They have Kite Day in Sister Bay and the Windsor Windy Kite Festival in Dane County. Of course, there'll be additional events throughout the summer and the fall across the state. There is nothing more peaceful than sitting there. And honestly, we live at a time that's a little crazy. I don't know if you've been paying attention to the news headlines, but it's a little crazy. So what I really love is being able to sit there, and there's this simplicity, right? And just watching a kite dance through the sky, especially when the sky is bright blue and it's a little sunny. It's the most, and watching kids' sheer joy of how science works and how you get these kites into the air, it's so much fun.
And you're at the beach and you see people flying these giant kites. I haven't flown a kite since Molly was little. I still am not the greatest at getting them up.
Yeah.
But once you get them going, it's terrific.
It's always
but the running and the holding and the tossing and the and then when you're working with a little kid, they're not really good at the string, and so I can't do both. And they're too little to run and throw the flag, throw the
kite,
the kite up.
And what's cool about the Wisconsin Kiters Club, if you're lucky enough to be able to attend one of their events, it's not just watching the kites, which is just a perk, right? But a lot of their festivals include opportunities for kiddos so that they can build and then fly those kites. They make events family friendly and very educational. And of course, we all know that, you know, flying a kite is a little weather dependent. Light winds.
Not if you're Ben Franklin.
Well, light winds require specialized ultralight kites. Strong winds above 20 miles per hour can force kite flyers to bring kites down to avoid any sort of damage. And if you're an experienced kite enthusiast, you probably know all of this. But some of these events also include a lot of massive specialty kites. They have stunt kite demonstrations, which I had no idea was a thing.
I love those
and opportunities for anybody who's attending to learn the basics of kite flying from experienced hobbyists. Mark's chiming in over on our text line this morning. He says that his neighbor has a sport kite. I remember back in grade school in art class making Japanese fish kites as well.
Yep,
ooh,
I remember
very
those.
Exciting.
Have you ever had luck? I remember building a number of box kites. I could never get a box kite to fly.
Yeah, no, I could.
They never worked, and then they always crash the ground and explode.
Yes.
And it's like, I spent so long making, box kites, I'm out.
Yeah.
But any other kind of kite, I'm in. 100%.
The other day, I was walking the dog, and we have a really small, everybody in our neighborhood has really small yards. And I was watching a family, they had this kite. Kid was probably about 10, and this kite was bigger than he was, and he had it up in the air for a little bit, and then he got bored with it. And so as I'm walking the dog, I'm watching him. He's taking this kite, he's trying to get it through the two pillars of the front porch, he's banging the thing around, then he had to try to get it through the front door. And I was like, and I looked at Aspen and I said, you know, that kite's probably never gonna fly again. As I was watching the kid, it was massive though.
It
was
beautiful. How many of us kites in the garage for years after they had flown a few times, and then you take them apart and put them back in the tube. And it's like, it's fun, but it's not an everyday kind of thing. It's time to go fly our kite today.
But if you just need some simplicity in life, find one of these events. We could all benefit.
Said it's soaring up to the atmosphere, up where the air is clear. All right, when we come back, there will be so much more. If you're listening on WMDX, we will talk to you later, or get on that app. You got about 15 seconds to text in START. More after this. It's Daybreak on the Civic.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.